Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
In preparation for the anticipated demonstrations and the possibility of violence on city streets, MPD was fully deployed on 12-hour shifts the week of January 4th with days off and leave canceled. At 2:22 p.m., a call was convened with, among others, myself, leadership of the U.S. Capitol Police, the National Guard, and the Department of the Army. I was surprised at the reluctance to immediately send the National Guard to the Capitol grounds. In the meantime, by 2:30 p.m., the district had requested additional officers from as far away as New Jersey and issued notice of an emergency citywide curfew beginning at 6 p.m.
So, this is Robert Conti. He is the acting Metropolitan Police Chief. That's the district there in D.C. And, of course, Stephen Sund is the one who left that position. He was also one of the testifiers yesterday. This is a very interesting hearing. To me, it was interesting because it's really the first time we've gotten a chance to hear directly from the leaders who made decisions, good and bad, related to the Capitol riot or insurrection. Honestly, I think there's like three different things you have to talk about here. There's the protest rally, there's the riot, and then there's the insurrection. And maybe the riot and the insurrection are the same thing, but not to be too sloppy with the language. Certainly, there was elements of all three, and they're not all the same people involved in all three of those different things. In any case, as you heard there, there's a bit of a timeline dispute. You know, one side, Sund, basically, who is the former Capitol Police Chief, he says, I requested, just after 1 o'clock, I requested National Guard. And National Guard folks are like, not really. I didn't think we heard that until later. But even so, even by that 2:20 meeting, you have Conti saying, why aren't they coming? Who's not sending them? Why are they dragging their feet? We should get them in here. Because at this point, it was obvious that this was not something that the Capitol Police or even MPD was going to be capable of fully stopping. But before we ever got to that point, the background is, was this all open, known, planned, understood? Did everybody know that we had, basically an insurrection on our hands, a violent assault against the Capitol? And the answer is no. You know, the perspective that's being sold after the fact was that this was, everybody knew this was coming, and everybody avoided doing anything to stop it. And what they consistently testified about yesterday was, no, we didn't have an intelligence warning at all. This is Sund. He is, again, the former Capitol Police Chief, Stephen Sund.
The intelligence that we based our planning on indicated that the January 6th protests were expected to be similar to the previous MAGA rallies in 2020, which drew tens of thousands of participants. The assessment indicated that members of the Proud Boys, white supremacist groups, Antifa, and other extremist groups were expected to participate on January 6th, and that they may be inclined to become violent. Based on the intelligence that we received, we planned for an increased level of violence at the Capitol and that some participants may be armed. But none of the intelligence we received predicted what actually occurred.
Now, there was this question of an email of some raw data indicating that there might be something more sinister afoot that came in like the day before that nobody was alerted about, called about, and didn't know it was significant, and might even have been too late at that point. But still, you know, there's a question about that, but they say they never got it. Moreover, the way this thing unfolded, it was not just a surprise, but it wasn't even a surprise that was connected with the rally and the protest that the president was leading down at the other end of the street.
Talk to me. What did you see that leads you to believe that this was a coordinated attack? And I would like our other witnesses to engage in that as well.
Yeah, I'm able to provide you a quick overview of why I think it was a coordinated attack. One, these people came specifically with equipment. You're bringing climbing gear to a demonstration. You're bringing explosives. You're bringing chemical spray, such as what Captain Mendoza had talked about. You're coming prepared. The fact that the group that attacked our West Front 20 minutes, approximately 20 minutes before the event over at the Ellipse ended, which means they were planning on our agency not being at what they call full strength, watching the other event, saying, hey, that event's ending. Okay, everybody get on post. They're going to be marching our way, knowing that we may not be at full strength at that time. And then also the fact that we were dealing with two pipe bombs that were specifically, set right off the edge of our perimeter to, what I suspect, draw resources away. I think there was a significant coordination with this attack.
And they had radio systems that they were using. So I'll tell you, the more I listen to them talk about it, I'll tell you the picture that I get. I get the picture of two separate things. Thing number one is the speech of the president's leading over at the Ellipse, with people who, like many of the people that, were from here locally, that just went because they want to support the president. And their goal was to be a bunch of people massed outside the Capitol and remind the senators and congressmen that they should not certify the electoral results of the states that Trump told them were in dispute. Peaceful protest, clear First Amendment. Then when that was happening, and because they knew that would be happening, there was another group of people that decided that they were going to stage some kind of an insurrection or an attack, or if you prefer to say it, a coup or whatever you want to call it. And they were going to take advantage of that situation and timed their attack, including even like military style tactical thinking about how to have pipe bombs over here that will draw resources away, or to know that because there's a big police presence at the protest and along the march route, the resources are going to be split and we can take advantage of that. Maybe I'm weird about this, but you've probably had this thought. You're driving somewhere and you see, 10 police cars around a scene somewhere. Tell me none of you have had the thought, oh man, it's safer to speed now. Right? Because, all the cops are doing the other thing. Well, this is a very serious topic, but that's how they think. Look, we know all the cops are over there with this other thing. They're not focused here on where we're going to be, so let's take advantage of that. And those folks were bent on violence. So, A, was it premeditated in the sense of we all knew this was going to happen and the president orchestrated it? I mean, it looks more and more like all the allegations of the impeachment just don't fit. Okay, to me, anyway. Also, was it related to the people at the protest, at the march? No. It happened first. Then the question, though, and this is I don't have an answer to this question. I don't know the answer. I want to know the answer to this question. I want to know why the National Guard was not more responsive. I want to know why it wasn't more quickly deployed. I think that's a fair question. But nobody thought that. Well, there might have been some people who thought this was going to happen, but this notion that it was open knowledge that there was going to be a siege on the Capitol on the 6th, no, that's just false. But again, that was the premise of the impeachment hearings, is that it was obvious that that's what was going to happen, only looking back in retrospect. And basically what they testified yesterday was nobody really knew this was coming, and this was way beyond the capability of even a police force to repel. You would have needed basically military numbers of strength. 437-1620, 437-1620, but still shocking that that wasn't allowed, that was kind of, the feet seemed to be dragged on that. Davis Allen, time now for traffic.
Yeah, we have a stalled out vehicle going southbound Garcon Point Bridge. This is why I'm seeing these delays, and delays going southbound are backed up all the way to the toll plaza. And as you're going northbound, we are also seeing delays as partially result of this stalled out vehicle. It's actually, by the way, southbound, it appears that it's before you get to the hump that is where this vehicle is located. And if you're going northbound, delays are backed up into Gulf Breeze. Eastbound, westbound traffic are being affected. Avalon Boulevard itself, once you get beyond the delays, so far checking in clear. I-10, I-110 reporting no delays. And also I'm still seeing those delays at the front gate of NES Pensacola. We are seeing those delays backed up to Warrington Elementary School. And now on Barrancas Avenue, if you're trying to go westbound, it is delayed backed up to Old Corey Field Road. I'm Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
So when you're trying to sell a house, you want to make sure that the people you're dealing with are professional, capable, effective, get results, all that, and make you enjoy the process. The one thing you don't want is, you don't want to be sitting there waiting and hoping and wondering week after week after week if something's going to happen. Like, that's the worst. So here's the thing. When I was talking to Christina Leavenworth the other day, and she was telling me, Andrew, what I used to say is 30 days, we agree about a price, I can guarantee I'll sell the home or I won't take a seller's commission. She says, now, look, honestly, it's, you know, if we agree about a price, almost always I can get home sold in 7 days. Just what we're doing is working. You know, you got to take the right photos. You got to stage it right. You got to do it right on social media. You got to, you know, there's all kinds of elements that go into it. It just doesn't magically happen for everybody. Otherwise, everybody would be getting these results, and they're not. But she says, look, we had a home over by Marcus Point, three offers in 1 day. Had a home over by the mall, 8 offers in a day. I mean, this is the kind of results we're getting. So she and her team at Levin Reinke Realty, they can help you. If you want to get a house sold, find out what it might be worth. Find out what's realistic. She will tell you. She'll be honest with you. She'll tell you. This is what we can do. 723-9158. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Reinke Realty.
Absolutely. My view is from the day of the incident. I think there were hand signals that were being used by several of the insurrectionists. There was radio communication by several individuals that were involved. The coordinated use of chemical munitions to include bear spray by several people that were out there. I certainly believe it was coordinated. To Chief Sun's point regarding the placement of the pipe bombs in the areas, their discovery prior to this event, all of those things. And plus, adding to that what we know in hindsight now, as a result of the ongoing investigation that's being handled by the FBI, as they continue to scrub social media, I think we're learning more and more that this was clearly a coordinated effort.
Now, again, and we had a call, somebody didn't want to go on the air, but I want to address her concern, which was, you know, people did know there was evidence out there, tweets, various elements. Listen. When an event like this happens, you go back over everything. You do this in your ordinary life. When something weird happens in your life, a bad thing, you think to yourself, did I miss the signs? What was there? What didn't I? Okay. But the point was, you didn't know at the time. And I think that's the overwhelming lesson we got, is that the consensus among everybody in law enforcement, intelligence, and otherwise, was they did not expect what turned out to happen. But now going back and looking, could you see the signs? Could you see the missed signals? Could you know how prevalent was the obviousness of the threat? Well, they're going to find stuff, of course. And there's going to be a lot of, you know, allegations that people should have paid better attention. And, you know, it's fair to raise that question. But again, the notion that, like, everybody knew this was coming, that's just not accurate. Any more than when something awful happens in your life, did you know that it was coming? Even though a lot of us, normally you look back and you say you feel guilt over missing some sign. You know, could I have done that differently? Could I have done that? That's human nature. 723 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Tiger Woods in stable condition, responsive after undergoing emergency surgery on his right leg and ankle after that car accident in the L.A. area yesterday. NBC's Craig Melvin with the latest.
Overnight, his official Twitter account reassuring fans that he's currently awake, responsive, and recovering in his hospital room.
Woods, with fractures affecting the upper and lower portions of the tibia and fibula, a rod inserted into the tibia, while additional foot and ankle injuries have been stabilized with pins and screws. The Supreme Court hears arguments today on when police can enter your home without a warrant. Police typically need a warrant, thanks to the Fourth Amendment, but courts have granted exceptions when an officer is in pursuit of a felony suspect. Some states have widened that to include misdemeanors. Critics say the case, which stems from a California DUI, could expand police powers to allow home entry for numerous minor offenses.
Big case.
Yes.
Big case, depending on how they rule in that. That's right, because there are certain exigent circumstances or ongoing pursuit, et cetera, that do justify. We've talked about this many times with our police friends. But if it also included ongoing pursuit of a misdemeanor suspect, that would be new. That would be different.
Prince Philip is going to stay in the hospital for several days, continuing to battle an infection. We don't know what, but the 99-year-old Duke of Edinburgh is still in the hospital, reportedly not COVID-related, however.
All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. 725 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis, I know you've been avidly paying attention to the Tiger Woods story, as most of the nation has been. I look at these medical reports, and, of course, the question everybody wants to know is, will he recover to the point that he can compete in golf again? And we just ran out of time to ask this question in future news, but I hope so. We all hope so. Several people, several professional golfers have said if anybody can do it, he'd be the one to do it. But these kind of injuries, when you're talking about the twisting force that's put on your lower leg in every aspect of a strong golf swing, I mean, anything is possible. But this would be an enormous road to recovery to full potential for professional competitive golf.
Well, let me put it this way. The injuries were he had bones that broke through the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And also he had bones that broke in more than two places.
Right.
In multiple areas of his leg. So the fact that he is what they're saying, he's on the road to at least walk again,
mm-hmm.
is a good first step.
Absolutely.
So am I even thinking about him returning to the golf course? No.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, just being able to walk normally again would be a major win,
yeah,
let alone all the other things that I think we all hope for in the future. 726, right back to you, Davis, for our traffic.
Yeah, and we have this stalled out vehicle on Garcon Point Bridge southbound. This is backing up delays almost to Garcon Point Road now, and northbound also causing delays with delays backed up into Gulf Breeze affecting eastbound and westbound traffic. Eastbound appears to be more delayed than westbound, eastbound backed up to the Winn-Dixie Bell's parking lot. Once you get through this traffic, once at least get to the Garcon Point Road area, the rest of Avalon Boulevard northbound does check in clear, while southbound going towards I-10 is still delayed, backed up around the area of Moores Oak Drive. Now going back into Pensacola, we do have delays at the front gate of Aeneas Pensacola, still backed up around the area of Patton Drive. That is extended. But now if you go to the back gate, it is checking in clear, so that could be your alternate route. If you're taking a look at that 9 mile road, also that's this area is checking in clear, but it is delayed on Highway 29 southbound in between 9 mile and I-10. I'm Davis Allen with you, traffic on the fives.
You know, we all drive cars, but that doesn't mean we love the act of buying and selling them. I mean, I don't think anybody really loves that. So if you have a car for sale that you're thinking about offloading because you're going to get something else, hey, Frontier Motors, you know, you can go to them and at least get a price. I mean, at least the easiest thing you can do, if you're thinking about selling a car on your own, at least go to them and find out what they might offer you, because you might find out that they're going to offer you more than you expect. But they can consignment sell it for you. 15 minutes, they can give it, you know, give you a price that they would offer you for it. Or at least maybe you get some idea. Because here's the thing. I don't think any of us really love the prospects of, you know, listing it on Craigslist, listing on Facebook Marketplace, trying to, you know, get attention to it and then vetting the people and letting them drive your car. Just all the stuff that goes around it. Right? And how much is your time worth? So since they sell 200 cars and trucks a month, that means I need to buy 200 cars and trucks a month. Good quality, late model, low mileage cars. That's what they specialize in. So if you've got one to sell, go to Frontier Motors. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
I still think it's amazing that we have this conference, this basketball tournament coming next week. This is amazing. Like, it's the era of COVID. Like, all the cool things, that even when the cool things are happening, it's like, you know, that. Oh, yeah, that's right. This is a big win for Pensacola. Of course, it stinks that everything else is being suppressed basically because of the pandemic, but this is all happening. So I've got four tickets. Sunbelt Conference Women's Basketball Session 2. That's March 5th. Okay, so next week. I got four tickets. I'll give them to you for caller number four right now. 437-1620. 437-1620. You can go watch women play basketball at this historic first of the conference right here in Pensacola. Here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News, and joining us as he does every week at this time, Pensacola Mayor Grover Robinson. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Glad to be here. How are you doing?
Oh, it's always good to have you. So I wanted to ask you, I was not able to attend yesterday. I had something else come up, but I did want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about this meeting you had yesterday with Tony Ortiz, the president of the Florida League of Cities, who was here in town doing a tour. How did the meeting go? What anything productive come out of it?
Tony is great. I think so. I think it gave us a chance to both talk with some of the press, talk with a group of business leaders, and also he talked to the downtown Rotary yesterday just about the message of dealing with local issues and asking for people, citizens, to get involved and empower their local governments. So much of what ends up happening at the state legislature is we get preempted. I mean, things like this bill that want to deal with home-based businesses, which sounds pretty innocuous in the sense that, again, we have no problem with people working from home that can do so. The challenge is if you have something like you're a mechanic of a garage shop or something else that's going to bring a lot of people into a neighborhood. This is why we have zoning.
Right.
This is why cities do this, to be able to say certain zones are not correct. You can't bring noise into neighborhoods. You can't bring certain businesses and parking into neighborhood to create problems. So when your home business is contained within your home and you don't bother your neighbors, we have no problem with you having a home business. But the minute you start creating other issues, we encourage you to take your business to a properly zoned area. We have plenty of them across the city of Pensacola and all across here. Scambia County has the same thing. But these are the kind of things. A big one, 5G, I mean, it's continued to be a big area. People come to us, they get upset because we're here locally. They can come to us, they say, this is what we want you to do. And we say, hey, that's great, but the state legislature has told us we can't do anything about this. So, you know, these are the things that we need the legislature to change and allow local governments to have control and say. I think people clearly want that. They come to us. They want us to get involved. But if we can't get involved because the legislature said we can't get involved, then we really need them to take that message there. And I think that's what a lot of what Tony was talking about. And, again, I always love talking with Tony. Like I said, everybody there was there yesterday. I said it's kind of like he's kind of like talking to he has this great booming Puerto Rican voice. He sounds like Ricardo Montalban. I feel like when I'm almost going to Fantasy Island every time he's he's got this this great voice. So I always enjoy when Tony's here, and it was great to get him to Pensacola.
That issue of state preemption is just one of those things that it's so frustrating. Because it's not the same as, but it feels like when the railroad does something wrong and there's just nothing you can do about it because they got all of these built-in protections and, you know, they're usually not all that responsive. That's how preemption feels. It's like, we know what's going on. We know what's good for our community and we can fix it if you just let us, and then, you know, they won't let you. So it's certainly very frustrating. Hey, I wanted to ask you, one of the things that came up in the meeting the other day, and it's not a brand new thing, but it is an urgent thing. These capital improvements to Wahoo's stadium, the $2 million or so. I understand our obligation. I have no problem objection to that. My only question is, can this get done in time for the beginning of baseball season?
Well, we that was one of the reasons we needed to go to the meeting to that was going to be tomorrow night. But obviously, council wanted some time, and we understand. And that's why we're going to bring it back to them in the first meeting in March. And really, that's, you know, at least us talking with the Wahoo's people. They believe they have enough time to work with some things, and if they at least show progress, things like the field, the turf, and the lights, you know, we may be able to get a reprieve on a couple of things to push for another year. But some of the things obviously can get started and get done. They're not going to play until May this year, I believe, is when they're going to start. So we have March and April to get some things done. So those are things we want to get done more than anything else. What I keep trying to stress to the people is what we want is we'd love to see baseball there for another 10 years, to lock that up, secure that, and make that happen. The cost and everything is important, but if we stay neutral, it doesn't impact me one way or the other. What I want to see happen, the worst thing I think would happen is if the stadium went dead and there was no activity. And clearly that's happened in 40 cities across the United States by what Major League Baseball has done. We don't want to be one of those cities. I think when you look at Mobile, you talk about a financial impact. You have no activity, and you continue to have to take care of your stadium
right.
and pay for it, but you either have no activity and no revenue to do so. So I think getting this deal secured with baseball, and again, the opportunity to do it for 10 years, which is the maximum, I think is a good thing. I think it's a great thing for the city in really perpetuating the impact we've had in downtown and
yeah,
the
no
future
doubt.
For a significant amount of time.
No doubt. I mean, it's a live, work, play thing. I mean, you know, it has become part of the identity of this town that we have the Wahoos, that stadium, for all of its different purposes. Even, you know, even if they have to go to turf, okay, I understand. We can live with it. It's not that big of a deal. We're talking to Mayor Grover Robinson, the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, I wanted to ask you a question about the bridge. And, you know, I know we talked about this at our press conference on Monday, but let's imagine that FDOT manages to get us on time with just the two lanes being open for that last mile of the northbound side of the bridge, that one section of the bridge. My concern is if the roundabout and stuff is not going to be done until Memorial Day, how is that intersection going to function between now and then? Is it still going to be 17th is going to be closed off? Is that the temporary plan until that is all done?
Davis, Andrew, I have not seen the plan on that. Like I said, early February, we had a discussion with them. We saw something in January we hated. We had a discussion in February that was a little bit more, it wasn't perfect, but it was better. I really haven't seen what they intended to do, and I've talked with Derek about it, and we're still waiting to see exactly what they do. But there's a variety of things that we've tried to explain would be very challenging. And so I think they're looking at some different things, and we hope we'll see what's there. We've been saying for a while, this is really going to be important with the landing. Whether the bridge had got knocked out or not, we would have had some of these challenges with the landing regardless. So
right.
If it's 2 months from middle of March to the end of May, you know, that's as minimal time as we can make the landing. We obviously want to see the bridge get back open, and we want to see the landing get done as soon as possible.
Absolutely. We're talking to Mayor Grover Robinson. Mr. Mayor, hang on for me for just a second. Let me get a quick traffic on the fives with Davis Allen.
Yeah, so good news that stalled vehicle on the bridge has since been removed, but still seeing delays as you're going southbound across the bridge itself heading into Gulf Breeze, in fact, back to Bond Avalon Boulevard, so just be ready to pack your patience when going over there. The northbound side of Garcon Point Bridge also appears to be moving slower until you get on through the area of Garcon Point Road, so just pack your patience along Avalon as well, especially southbound going towards I-10 backed up to the Hope Church over in the Moores neighborhood. 9 Mile Road also showing delays as you are heading towards the Navy Federal Complex eastbound, and also Pine Forest Road a little delayed southbound towards I-10, and both gates of NAS Pensacola are showing delays that are backing traffic up to Gulf Beach Highway. I'm Davis Allen with you, traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Now back to Mayor Grover Robinson. Mr. Mayor, as you are well aware, Governor DeSantis and Nikki Fried, Commissioner Fried, are in a bit of a contest right now over whether it's appropriate or not to have the flags lowered to half staff in honor of Rush Limbaugh, who, of course, is a Florida resident, if not a native, obviously. The order, as I read it, that came out said to have the flags lowered today in Tallahassee and in West Palm Beach, so I do not think that it covers us in any way. But did you opt one way or the other? Did you consider having the flag lowered? I was curious what your answer on that was.
Well, and from our standpoint, we will do whatever the governor instructs us to do. That was one of the things I was very clear and told when I got here that you know, we follow whatever the president and the governor tell us. So if we get told to do something, we will do it. And we have those things. I think there are people locally that we should lower it for half mast, and you know, it's just been one of those things where we don't control that. The governor controls that, and he's in there, and I don't care what the political issue is one way or the other. The person is the governor who it says we obey. So if he issues what he says for us to do, we'll do it.
Very good. You know, and I know a lot of people don't generally think about the fact that cities and counties exist at the will of the state, but I mean, that's kind of the way that it works. They're subsidiary entities.
Absolutely.
All right. I have a crazy question for you that I know we've never talked about before, and I'm just curious to get your answer on it. Devil's Triangle, 9th Avenue, Tippin, and 12th. Okay. Langley, sorry. Everybody knows that it's crazy, and I know it's county property. I mean, I know all that. But you're a fan of the roundabout, okay? You like the idea of roundabouts. We're seeing one come in at the bridge landing. Has it ever been discussed, the prospect of remedying that with, and I know people are screaming at me in their radios right now. That's fine. That's fine. But every time I drive through that intersection, I think this is nuts. I mean, this is just nuts every single time. Has a roundabout ever even been looked at for that intersection?
A roundabout was looked at that intersection when I was county commissioner, and I did not support it there. I think there are places where roundabouts can work. I think Langley, the one we did there, I think is a place that can work. I think the bridge is a place that could work. You know, but I think with so many roads coming into that intersection, the size of the roundabout that you would have to make it functional would end up eliminating most of your commercials. You'd have to buy the CVS, I mean, the Walgreens there. You'd have to buy all the where Waffle House is. You'd have to buy all that property to make it big enough to do that. You'd wipe out your commercial and you'd wipe out your tax base. So I'm not sure that's the best way. I think there are other ways that that were looked at that take, if you take the traffic that's coming up, what is tipping, and you turn it over and you bring it to another intersection on 9th, you make 9th the priority road. You take some other things and move it around. You significantly reduce the amount of people coming into that one signal where all the Bermuda Triangle is.
Sure.
I think that's probably a more sound decision looking long term at what could be done, especially versus a roundabout, because you would end up eliminating so much of your commercial tax base.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
A pretty penny to do that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And you're right. I mean, it would have to be an enormous traffic circle. It would be like the Arc de Pensacola kind of traffic circle in there. And that would take out all that. I hadn't been thinking about the size of it, but that makes good sense. All right, well, I was curious, and that's why sometimes I ask those questions, just because it occurred to me, and I figured somebody must have looked at it already, and I'm glad to have that answer. Mr. Mayor Grover Robinson, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Andrew, as always, look forward to it. You take care. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. 7:50 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Children, no matter where they are, can be in school, at least in a hybrid model, if not in full time. 40% of all K through 12 students are there full time. Another 25% are there in a hybrid model. Even the CDC recommendations that just came out says you don't need screening testing.
You don't need screening. Admiral Girard talking about the facility of putting kids back in school. Of course, ours are, but a lot of places in the country, they're not.
Schools need to be open. They need to be open now. We don't need screening. We don't need vaccines. Those are helpful. But even the new CDC guideline says children need to be back to school. And we're doing irreparable damage to a generation of children by denying them the opportunities for learning, for physical examination, for mental and emotional growth. We need to get our children back in school.
Amen. I agree with Governor DeSantis when he was saying a couple of months ago that the decision to close schools and in many cases to keep them closed is one of the most catastrophically stupid health, public health decisions probably in the last century. 7:53 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
More congressional hearings today on last month's Capitol insurrection, a House hearing to focus on warning signs before the deadly assault, featuring testimony from experts on domestic terrorism. L.A. authorities say that stretch of road where Tiger Woods lost control of his SUV has got a high frequency of accidents.
Every day is certain around a time when that sun breaks. It's a blind spot. You can't see nothing.
Several neighbors say the winding, steep section is dangerous, especially if drivers aren't riding their brakes on the way down. This morning, Woods is awake and responsive after undergoing surgery.
Oh, man, those, and not just there, obviously, but, you know, you ever find yourself driving at sunrise or sunset on a place, you're like, oh, my God, people do this every day.
And you can't see a thing.
I think of, like, the hump over Brent is one of those examples. I'm like, yeah, I mean, luckily there's no cross traffic there, but right. That kind of thing where you have an elevated, you know, or Fairfield.
Yeah, you're just, going around a wide sweeping curve.
Oh, yeah, and then if the sun going up the hill, just all of that. Yeah,
can be bad.
And if people speed on top of that, right?
You go bargain hunting at thrift shops, thrift stores?
I do. Mm-hmm. Well, we used to.
Used to. Well, maybe.
Not so much recently.
Maybe we should. Or not. I'm not sure. Washington State Police say a woman in Seattle got more than she bargained for. She bought an old crochet kit at a thrift shop. Think, oh, okay. Got home, opened it up, found an odd-smelling package inside made out of yellow rubber, and somebody had written on the front of it, 100%.
100% flour? 100% sugar? Baking
police
soda?
Police called, stick your pinky in it.
No, stop. They don't do that.
2 pounds of cocaine.
Oh. I just think it's funny that her...
And she's just crocheting like crazy now.
She's been up all night crocheting ever since. I just... How do you notice the smell is your key? And whatever. All right, Mark, thanks for the update. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Yeah, statement from Tiger Woods' representatives, according to his Twitter account, saying that he is awake, he is responsive after he had surgery on his right leg and ankle, suffered numerous breaks on his leg that included bones breaking in more than two ways, also bones breaking through the skin. So he suffered a pretty severe injury. They used rods, pins, and screws to put his legs back together, according to his doctor. He should be on the road to recovery, though. No impairment is suspected, by the way, in the crash. Also, all-star reserves have been selected. They include all-stars like James Harden, former MVP, also Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Julius Randle, and Ben Simmons. So congratulations to those guys. Now rolling this on over into your traffic on the fives. Oh boy, it's a mess on Garcon. No surprise there, as southbound appears to be delayed all the way... Do I dare say Mary Kitchens Road, southbound all the way on through the bridge, and Gulf Breeze Parkway just appears to be massive to try and get into Gulf Breeze this morning. Also, as you're leaving Gulf Breeze on northbound Garcon Point Bridge, it appears to be delayed throughout the entire length of the bridge. Once you get through the toll plaza, though, it should check in clear all the way on Avalon this morning. So just be ready to pack your patience along Avalon and Garcon going southbound. Highway 29 southbound in between 9 Mile and I-10 showing delays, and also the front gate of NES Pensacola still backed up to the intersection of Gulf Beach Highway, and appears that the back gate is doing the same exact thing. So just delays, especially if you're heading onto the base this morning. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You ever driving, and I know a lot of you are stuck in traffic right now, I'm sorry about that, but when you're driving and your car is kind of like... It's just weird things, you know, it's a weird noise, or there's a weird sensation, it shimmy, just something, and maybe it comes and goes, maybe it's not all the time, and you're like, I don't know, is that a thing, is that not a thing? I don't know either, okay, but you know who does? The folks at Bobby Likas. That's right, the folks at Bobby Likas Auto Service, they will look at it, and they'll tell you, yeah, that's important, no, that's not important, yes, we need to fix it right now, or no, you know, that can wait a couple of months, it's no big deal. That's what you want. You want good, honest input on what you need for your car. Now, whether it's routine maintenance, just tune-ups, oil changes and stuff like that, or major repairs, or just a perspective on anything in between, the folks at Bobby Likas Auto Service, they can take care of you. It's right here on Davis Highway, so it's very conveniently located. Don't go across the bay to Mobile to get your diesel truck or your high-end import fix. Go to Bobby Likas Auto Service or check them out online at carclinicservice.com. .759 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Hey, coming up, we got a special treat for you. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're coming up to the 200th anniversary of Escambia. And in honor of that, there's a whole committee of people that are organizing the events, and they're putting out weekly articles in the PNJ related to it. And the first one was published this week. Dr. Judy Benz, former president of UWF, joins us in a moment to tell us the history of Pensacola.